this is Graham Roberts, and you're listening to the Hotspur Podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Mickey Hazard, and you're listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
Hi, this is Mark Ingram, and I'm listening to the Hotspurs Podcast.
Well, we're hot shot top, and we are the Super Spurs. Everybody knows we're the
Yeah, this is the Hot Spurs Podcast, the Ginger Pele of Spurs shows, with Colin McKee, the former model from Northern Ireland, and Steve Robinson from Leonsea in Essex. With all the latest news and views from White Hart Lane, this is the Hot Spurs Podcast.
That's when Ozzy had his dream, and then Ulrich, he done the trick, scored the best goal you ever saw.
So I'm Steve in Leonsea, we've got Colin in Northern Ireland, and we just seen the Chelsea game, Carl. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, look, in hindsight, you know, a draw, you know, not a bad result for us in the end. You know, results went our way, other than obviously the Arsenal score. But, you know, look, first half performance, Steve, absolutely fantastic. Thought they looked so, so strong. Very, very unfortunate, you know, not to go in, but possibly, you know, at least two goals up at half time. But, you know, we've got to look at the second half. You know, I'm saying we'll go through everything here. But, you know, in the end, you know, I think we were probably fortunate enough to come out with a draw. And definitely, look, a good point against a very, very good Chelsea team. You know, especially when they brought on Juan Mata, you know, who made a massive difference. But, you know, and all in all, you know, a good strong point for us. And I say we're still gelling. So, you know, I was happy in the end with that.
Good. I don't like that phrase, gelling. Everyone keeps saying it. You haven't gelled yet and all this sort of stuff.
Well, let's say it's a word that's out there at the minute because probably we've got so many new players.
Yeah.
But, no, you know, it's going to come and say we'll go through players, and especially Mr. Soldado, you know, we'll have a good chat about him tonight.
Well, he's saying, what we're doing is we're going reverse tonight because we always start with Loris and we're starting to say the same things over and over again. So we're going reverse tonight, say a bit more about the forwards this time. Just before we do, we've got a sponsor for the show. The commercial director of StubHub got in touch with us and said, can we sponsor the show? So StubHub is now our official sponsor. Yay, StubHub! So we've got... I'm only joking. Little joke there for Spurs fans. Anyway, right, so let's go through it then. Townsend, first of all. Do you want to go first on this one?
Yeah, I don't mind. I was going to give Townsend a half, more so because obviously he didn't play a full game. But, you know, first half looked really exciting again. You know, attacking the fullback, what we're asking about. And just looked so, so strong, Steve. And slightly surprised maybe when he took off, you know, so early again in the second half. And another thing that sort of surprised me about it was that Chadley came on, you know, and Lamella, sort of expected, you know, Lamella to come on. But definitely thought Townsend had a great first half. I know it was Owen Hargreaves that was doing you know, the pitch side reporting for BT Sport.
Yeah.
And he was raving about him, thought he looked absolutely fantastic. But obviously, you were at the game there, and how did it look like?
Why are you only giving them a half? By the way, Hotspur's podcast scoring system, 0 if they didn't play well, half if they played all right, 1 if they played really well, just in case you didn't know. Why only a half, mate?
Just more so because he didn't play a full game. You know, he had a very, very strong first half, but, you know,
it's
second half...
give him a whole one. I'm going to give him a difficult. 1, mate, because he did what fans have been wanting him to do. Not what I've wanted him to do, because I want him to carry on shooting and carry on having a pop and seeing if he can get that goal and keep himself in the team. But there was one point in particular where I think he took out two blokes altogether and he laid it off. And I thought, no, you know, that's your time to have a dig. No one would have blamed you for that, going for it then. You know, as I said last week, later on in the season, as we're getting into March, April, you know, if he's still shooting, still hasn't scored, you know, even before that possibly. But, you know, we're late September. And, you know, I think he's totally justified his place in the side. You've got people having a pop at him for not shooting, people having a pop for shooting. And some podcasts saying he's not doing enough. And it's like Jake Livermore from last year. I mean, what an odd comparison. Really, really odd. I think that he's been fantastic. The joy to watch. Absolutely brilliant. Again, I'm giving him a one. Got to remember that, you know, we want instant success, instant everything. You know, we need a bit of time for these guys to gel in and gel. I've used the word gel. But Townsend, you know, he's been fantastic this season. Ridiculous criticism. Can't believe it. Moving on to Soldado then. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, look, it was another one of those games where I just sort of felt that he just isn't getting much time on the ball. He isn't getting maybe
I think we could be more critical of Soldado because he's what, 28, 29? So, you know, he's an international for Spain, and criticism for him would be justified if we don't think he's played well. For Townsend, he's still brand new to the side, so, you know, give the guy a break. But Soldado, definitely we can criticise him a little bit more. Carry on, mate.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, I don't know, is it because he isn't... You know, they aren't getting the ball to him in the right areas. Obviously, I think the guy's working hard. What I said on last week's show, you know, yes, he's always in the round the box. You know, another great layoff for Sigurdsson's goal, you know, which we need to remember. He done it last week as well. So, you know, I think just this guy, you know, a couple of goals from normal play. Obviously, he's only got a couple of penalties so far. And, you know, he'll start to score a lot of goals for us. But it's difficult just to put your finger on it. Obviously, he's came from the Spanish league.
What score are you
giving? Big money.
What score are you giving?
I was giving him a half. Giving him a half, Steve.
I'm gonna give him a zero for this one. Because in the second half, he really, really played poorly. First half, yeah, got involved, got stuck in, laid off the ball really well. But second half, he was whenever he got on the ball, he gave it away really, really badly. And like I say, he's not a young guy, and he needs to be, you know, more confident getting on that ball and laying it off, because he's playing up there on his own, and I have a lot of sympathy for that, because, you know, I'm going to defend Adebayor like I did all last year, and I'll defend Jermaine Defoe if he's up there on his own. I mean, could either of those two have done any better against John Terry, you know, one of the best defenders of the last 10, 15 years, and David Luiz, one of the best defenders in the world. You know, you're playing up there on your own.
Yeah.
It's incredibly hard. That doesn't excuse Soldado giving the ball away so much in the second half. And, you know, I think to justify a half or a one, half means that you've played all right. Really, his second half performance was so poor. It was like, you know, he's got to come off. And that's really bad to think, you know, this guy's playing so badly, he's got to come off. And, you know, I'm going to be critical of him now, but that does not mean that he's out the side, that's the end of it, what a waste of money, a load of rubbish. What it means is that he might take a bit of time, and he will take a bit of time, and don't be so, you know, that don't think, oh, what a flop. It just means he's going to take a bit of time. Chris Waddle took 2 years before he was a decent player for Tottenham. Signed in 1985, he was useless for the first whole season. You know, and he's from England. So, yeah. You know, some of these guys take a bit of time. Modric, if you cast your mind back, Modric took ages before he got used to the Premier League. So,
yeah.
You know, Soldado, playing up front on his own, he's going to take a bit of time to get used to playing in the Premiership, the pace of it, the physical side of it, and, you know, these things will come, and I have no doubt that he will, because he looks a class player. But he didn't play very well on Saturday.
Yeah, and do you think maybe, Steve, is he the kind of guy that maybe needs someone up alongside him, or is he the kind of player that can play on his own? You know, you're sitting there in the stadium, obviously watching him live, and it's completely different to sitting, you know, obviously like myself watching it live on TV, and you see a lot more from in the ground. You know, does he need a bit more support? Is Eriksen, you know, is that what Eriksen's job's meant to be? You know, I'm sort of wondering, does he need like Sifanati Bayor maybe beside him?
Well, can you imagine, like,
do the work rate and knock it down?
Yeah, well, the ball, you know, a cross or a long ball to a Peter Crouch or an Adebayor, heading it down for Soldado to hit it first time. But that's not the reality of the situation. Adebayor, of course, has come back, hasn't he? He's now in training. Yeah. Could Adebayor and Soldado play up front? Well, a good Adebayor, who wants to play, and Soldado next to him. That's exciting.
Yeah, and I've sort of thought about that this week, you know, I've sort of seen that, you know, Ali Bior's been back in training, and I'm sort of wondering, look, is this guy, is he ready? You know, possibly it could be the Ali Bior that's looking to move again. You know, and you know what he's like whenever he is looking to move, and he sort of feels, right, I'm not going to get enough football here, so look, I've got to put it in a game just to get noticed and maybe go in January or to get away next summer. So, you know, possibly I would like to see him. I don't know whether he's in the squad or not for tomorrow night, but I would love to see Ali Bior maybe get back on the pitch. And as you say, look at that first season, Steve. I absolutely loved the guy. I think it was Ali Bior, you know, got us into that top four that year. And it would be very, very interesting just to see if the likes of him up front with Soldado would just take that bit of pressure. But, you know, I think, you know, the goal will come soon. Fingers crossed it'll come against West Ham this Sunday. And I think once he maybe gets it. But, you know, one thing, the last thing we'll probably say about him, you know, whenever Sigurdsson scored, did you see his reaction?
Yeah.
You know, his reaction, he was absolutely delighted. He was, you know, pumped, you know, his fist in the air and jumped on, you know, Sigurdsson's back. So that was great to see. You know, there'd be a lot of guys like him, maybe, you know, top strikers, aren't getting the goals. Maybe the head would have went down a bit. But, you know, he was as happy as anybody to see a score.
Yeah. He desperately needs, on a final point on Soldado, he desperately needs to smash one in against West Ham or the game after. He can't go on much longer without him, you know, doing one of those volleys that we see him do for his previous side. So, but it will come. I'm sure it will. And, you know, but it takes time to adapt and getting used to it all. And but you can just tell, you know, some players you can tell they've got the quality. And, you know, he's playing for the team, so, you know, we're doing all right. Sigurdsson, what are you giving him, half or one?
I'm going to give Sigurdsson a one again. I know probably more so on the first half, but, you know, the guy's been fantastic. You know, he's in and about, another great finish for us. And he was definitely a guy that a lot of us weren't talking about at the beginning of the season because of all these new players. And fair play to him. You know, he's been in the team. He's fighting hard for the team. And I really like the guy. I really do, Steve. And I'm definitely giving him a one.
I just don't think you can drop him at the moment. And, you know, everyone's keen to drop him. And you know, we're like, you know, if you look at our squad and the FA Cup final was tomorrow, and you think, you know, what is our best side, then, you know, Sigurdsson isn't in it. You know, you go with all the other guys, Lamella and people like that. And but actually, you just can't drop Sigurdsson at the moment. I was in the pub before and I sort of said, you know, are we going Sigurdsson or Holtby on this one? Because obviously Sigurdsson didn't feature in the European game. The Villa game. But Holtby did, and Holtby was fantastic. So like, you know, Holtby deserves to be in, Sigurdsson deserves to be in, you know, who are you going to go with? You know, Sigurdsson, you just can't drop him at the moment, so he's brilliant. Moving on to Dembele, what do you think of Dembele this week?
I give Dembele a one again. I thought Keane was so, so strong. You know, he got a slight bit of criticism there a few weeks ago, but again, I thought, you know, he looked powerful, he was strong, he's in there to do his job. He still just frustrates me because when you watch him sometimes, the way he can just glide past players and with his strength on the ball, when he gets in around that box, you just want to see him do it again and again. And this guy should be scoring goals for fun. It really, really should be. And I know, you know, after Torres was sent off, you know, obviously he put a great through ball into Jermaine Defoe, who usually in those positions would absolutely rattle the ball into the back of the net. But I thought he had a real good game for us, Steve, and definitely give him a one.
Yeah, he had the best game of the season. Again, another podcast said that he didn't play that well and couldn't see, you know, silly thing to say because he was absolutely brilliant. What a joy to watch when he's on the ball and just gliding past players. It was funny because he kept doing it to Frank Lampard. Every time he got the ball, and he just, you know, literally nonchalantly just went round Frank Lampard. And you could see Frank Lampard's face going, normally I'm, you know, getting stuck into these guys, and they, you know, and that's not to say that Frank Lampard didn't play well, because, I mean, Christ, that guy just keeps going on and on and on. And, you know, I'm a little bit jealous that we didn't sign him all those years ago. Because obviously, you know, think what you want about about him. I think you cannot compare him and John Terry, in my opinion. You know, one is a loathsome figure with so many things that, you know, are horrible. But, you know, Frank Lampard, basically, is a brilliant footballer. And, you know, he kisses the badge too much, but that's because he plays for another team. We don't like him, I suppose. What about Eriksen?
Eriksen, for me, I'm giving him a half this week. I thought he had a good first half, was on the ball, again, set up another goal for us, you know, great pass into Soldado. Thought he looked really strong, but Steve, for me, in the second half, just totally disappeared. Whether that was his fault or whether that was just to give, you know, Chelsea some credit, but he really just disappeared out of the game for us and wasn't surprised, actually. Thought he might have been taken off, you know, slightly earlier than what he was, but you know, it's hard, you know, because obviously he's new into the side as well, and we said it again whenever he had that great first match, you know, look, let's not just get carried away, you know, at the beginning with him, because it's going to take time, and obviously, you know, it's a tough game from coming into the Premier League against a, you know, a very, very strong side like Chelsea, and I just thought, you know, brilliant first half, but second half disappeared for us.
So half?
Yeah.
Yeah, he gets a half from me as well. Paulinho?
Paulinho, again, I'm giving him a half, Steve. First half, again, on the ball, doing a lot of good things. Second half, when we really needed him in there to break up a lot of play, and obviously with his work rate and his energy, I just felt a wee bit like the Arsenal game just went slightly missing. And, you know, it's been slightly worrying off him that in our two biggest games against Arsenal and against Chelsea, he hasn't really stepped up to the plate. Great chance just before half-time as well. And he's had a few of them. He's had two or three of them already this season.
Yeah,
he just can't seem to put those ones away.
I'm going to give him a one because I like the fact that he's getting those positions. And what's actually happening, I noticed that Dembele was playing much deeper and Paulinho was getting into the box. I think he's great. I think he was looking tired towards the end there, but, you know, he played against Villa for some reason. You know, I don't know why he played that game, really, because we need him fresh. We need him fresh for Chelsea, and we've got other guys that could have come in. But if we go through this team a bit quicker now, so if we go let's go with Lloris. What are you giving Lloris?
Yeah, I'm giving Lloris a one.
Yeah,
Walker. He made a couple of great saves, Steve. You know, and you know, off his line quickly. Walker, I'm giving a half. To, you know, he had a decent enough game, but again, I just feel there's times he could do so much more, especially again with his pace and overlap, and the guy should be terrorising.
He gets a zero for me because he gave it away far too much. Carl Norton, it gets a zero as well, unfortunately. He's just not a left back.
He
still shouldn't be giving the ball away so much.
Yeah. Definitely agree.
And Dawson?
Dawson, I'm giving a half because of his mistake for the goal.
Yeah.
It was just, unfortunately, one of the... He does it every now and again. And, you know, when I watched the replays, I watched them two or three times, it was really like schoolboy era, you know, that he wasn't... Like John Terry in the box is obviously one of their big dangers, and he just totally forgot about him, totally let him go. But other than that, he was, you know, Mr. Tottenham at the back, hard tackles, and, you know, it's hard to complain about him, but
when it goes wrong for him, when he does get beaten, he looks so vulnerable.
And it always seems to cost us a goal.
Yeah, and I know that he's a bit of a laughing stock with Arsenal fans. You know, they think that you know, he's the guy that, you know, we won't finish above them. It's all going to go wrong because we've got Michael Dawson, and they sort of chuckle about it, and they sort of say, oh, you know, don't forget they've still got Michael Dawson, ha ha ha. And it's like, well, really, is he really that bad? So I'm going to give him a half as well. And we've left Vertonghen until last because obviously there's a few things to say about what happened in the match. You say your bit and then I'll do mine.
Okay.
One or zero, first of all?
Half. I'm giving him a half because, unfortunately, and we say it every week, you know, we just always just go one. He uses class and, you know, he never puts a foot wrong. But I just think Torres got under his skin. You know, we let it get to him a wee bit. Slightly disappointed, and we're always honest in this show, you know, about a bit of play acting or whatever. You know, I think for the first one for the trip, it wasn't really tough. It took him a wee while to go down, but you know, the way Torres got on, and you know, we'll talk about it, you know, later on, maybe the scratching of the face should have been a straight red card. You know, the referee was there, the linesman was there as well. But, you know, even then after, you know, he just got wrapped up in it and forgot about his own game, in my eyes. And, you know, then the challenge for the red card, you know, obviously went down holding his head whenever he seen the replays, so he wasn't touched. But, you know, in live on TV for me, Steve, I thought it was a red, you know, definitely was a yellow or a red card. But when you see it, it's one of those hard calls. But in a way, I wasn't overly disappointed either, because obviously it's Chelsea and they've got away with so much against us over the years. It was about time. Maybe it was that wee bit of luck, Steve, because I think at that stage Chelsea were ready possibly to go on to win the game.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea were much better in the second half. They were certainly going forward and there was only going to be one winner. But a couple of things let's clear up here. With Vertonghen, what happened was he was right in front of me because I sit in the west stand. So as he was running towards the corner flag, the ball was getting away. Torres flicked his leg out once, which kind of tripped him up a little bit, but he carried on. And then he flicked him again. That's when he went down. He went down. It looked theatrical because it maybe wasn't enough to actually trip him up. But it was a second flick. So he's like, hang on, one, you've caught me. The second one is sinister. So that's that one. And then he stood up, obviously, and confronted him. And Torres has scratched his face. Now, if it wasn't seen by the officials at the time, because it was quite a quick thing he did, in which you watch it in real time, that's fine. If you didn't see it, that's fine. Obviously, afterwards, they've said that he's not going to get done by the FA. So they've looked at it and said, yeah, that's fine. So what I would suggest is that Cabal, if he plays against West Ham, he goes straight up to Kevin Nolan and just puts his hand on his face and scratches him across the face after about 30 seconds, 1 minute. And, you know, obviously that's fine. He might get a yellow card for it, but, you know, that will hopefully take Kevin Nolan out of the game. You know what I mean? So obviously that's fine if you scratch someone across the face.
Crazy decision by them.
The thing is, you know, whether or not you think it's all right to put your hand up against someone's face, and admittedly, for me, I think you can put your hand on someone's face if they're right in your face and they're annoying you. I have no problem with that. However, football rules, as far as I know, you're not allowed to do that, are you? I mean, have they changed the rules? Because the football that I've watched over the last 5, 6, 10 years or whatever, if a player puts his hands on another player's face, A, normally they go down like a sack of potatoes, which Vertonghen didn't do.
Yeah.
But secondly, if you put your hands on another player's face, you get sent off, don't you? Isn't that the rules? Now, they're not my rules. They're not rules that I've invented. And they're not rules that I think particularly are good. Because I think there are situations where if someone comes up to you, wherever you are, and is right in your face, you can push their face away. But in football, in our league, isn't it a sending off if you do that? So therefore, how come the FA have looked at it and gone, well, actually, no, you know, you can put your hand on his face, let alone scratch his face. So that is what's bizarre in that situation. Whoever it is, whatever player it is, and I've got nothing against Torres. You know, if it was John Terry, I'd be much more, you know, venomous about it, because I actually think he's a really horrible person. As good a footballer he is and a brilliant defender over the years he's been, you know, in terms of all the things that he's done, you know, he's a nasty piece of work. So that was a funny one. And just going on to the third bit, when Vertonghen and Torres clashed for that final bit, Vertonghen jumped up, he won the header, and Torres came in and hit Vertonghen, which meant that Vertonghen, if you watch it in slow motion, Vertonghen actually goes horizontal and then lands, and is obviously like winded or something. He might be all right, but you know, tell me a player that doesn't get hit when they head a ball and the other guy doesn't touch it, that doesn't actually take a few seconds or 30 seconds just to recoup, just to get himself out. Vertonghen didn't stay on the floor rolling around. He got whacked after winning the header. Torres didn't win that header. And even though he didn't lead with his elbow, he still did whack Vertonghen as he came into him. Second thing is, people are saying he didn't deserve to get sent off for that. He didn't get sent off for that. He got a yellow card. It wasn't a sending off. He didn't elbow. If he'd have elbowed him in the face, that would have been a sending off. But he didn't. What he did was Vertonghen won the header, and then Torres came in, whacked Vertonghen, upended him, and that's why he got booked. So it's bizarre that people are going, oh, he shouldn't have deserved to get sent off for that. He didn't get sent off for that. He got a yellow card. And coincidentally, he got a yellow card 2 minutes before because he tripped Vertonghen twice and shoved him in the face.
Yeah. No, what you're saying is right. I think where a lot of people were sort of coming on, and not really us Spurs fans, but, you know, Vertonghen, you know, he did hold his head, you know, whenever he went down. But, you know, what I done, and I'm sure you've seen it on Facebook, I put, you know, the way Jose Mourinho got on after that match, I actually really liked the guy before he came back to Chelsea. You know, the way he got on with the William thing and his press conference for me was just a finish. I thought he was so arrogant and so disrespectful to Spurs that time. And then the way he got on after this match, I just thought, see this guy, he's an absolute joke. Yeah. He needs to remember that he was a translator for Bobby Robson and was just fortunate enough to get into Porto and just probably to have a really good squad. The guy is an absolute joke,
well,
in my eyes, you know.
He poked the Barcelona bloke in the eye, didn't he? Which is probably the most, if you're going to use the word disgraceful in football terms.
That's probably one of the worst things that's ever happened on a sideline.
I mean, it's just an atrocious thing to do to another human being. And poke them in the eye.
Yeah, like, that was a disgrace. And then again, what I was saying on Facebook, I put up the picture of David Luiz.
Yeah.
Do you remember at Old Trafford?
Right.
Whenever he rolled in that
corner.
We must have done that at the same time then,
because I did that as well.
Yeah, and he lifted his head up, and he looked at the Man United fans and had a big smile and closed his eyes and put his head down again.
Yeah.
Now, I know Mourinho wasn't the manager then, but hold on a minute. You know, if you're going to start talking about foreign, and he mentioned about him being a foreign player, you know, playing in England, and if it had been an English player, Mourinho loves to say these things so the English media and the English fans sort of think that he's on their side. It was like when United beat them last year, when he was Real Madrid, or whenever Madrid beat them. Remember, he walked down the sideline before the whistle went.
He didn't deserve to lose,
you know,
that, all that.
Yeah, applauded the Man United fans and Alex Ferguson's this and that. You know, the guy's a joke.
Yeah.
I just have no time. I hope they get stuffed every week.
These foreign players, two players in the last minute of the game were sitting on the floor feigning injury. Frank Lampard and John Terry.
Yeah,
were both on their bums in the last minute because they wanted the game to finish there.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And just going back to the Vertonghen, when he went horizontal and landed, he might have held his head, but there was another person holding their head as well on the floor, Torres.
Yeah, true.
He's down as well. So what a bizarre, silly situation.
Yeah.
Right, mate, time for a poll.
Okay.
Nice one, Davey. Right, Cole, do you want to say any more about that Chelsea game?
No, just sort of to round off, you know, do you agree that in the end of the day, Steve, it was a good point for us? Because I do sort of feel, you know, we try to be honest, you know, the game was, there was only going to be one winner in that second half. And here, let's give the guy a shout-out, Juan Mata. You know, what a difference that guy made, Steve. And, you know, the rumours were on transfer deadline day that he was actually at Spurs Lodge. And, you know, we possibly had a chance of signing that guy. If anybody's watching it and the way Chelsea are treating him in January, how good would it be to go and make a massive bid for that guy?
Yeah, he's a brilliant player. I think he'll be well established in that Chelsea side by then, because I don't think Oscar's up to much. Can you imagine if they had Lukaku up front, by the way?
I know.
That game would have been dead and buried.
Was the man.
If that Lukaku was up front for them, my goodness.
Yeah. Maybe he's our man to replace Adi Bayor, but I think him and AVB never played him. I think AVB signed him for Chelsea, but never really gave him a chance.
What a good player he looks.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, Sandro, by the way, should have come on way before, you know.
Okay, that was another. What's been on there, Steve?
Well, Chadley came on. I'll tell you why Chadley came on, because Walker was attacking so much and really looking, making us vulnerable. So I reckon he brought Chadley in as a, first of all, as an outlet, because he's a big, tall guy, but also to protect that right side, because, you know, Townsend isn't the best defender, and I think he wanted, just wanted to strengthen up on there.
What's happening with Sandro, Steve?
Yeah, he needs to play more.
Need to see this guy. I'd love to see him start to get a few more minutes on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know.
You know, even rotating him with you know, the likes of Paulinho and you know, it's obviously the three at the moment is Paulinho, Eriksen and Dembele. You know, I think we need to get Sandro in. Just say to Paulinho or another one, just say, listen, you know, today we're going with Sandro, but you're on the bench. 60 minutes,
yeah.
You come on. Whatever. We're running out of time, mate, so let's do fantasy football.
Okay, fantasy football. Okay, great thing this week. Not many scum players I had to take out. Just one guy in the top 10, so he's been deleted, so he's no longer in the podcast league. So, in first place, Anthony Ferreira is still there, but Steve, there's a bit of controversy with Anthony. I've found out that it's actually his son, his 11-year-old son, George... that actually picks his team. So I found this out. I got secret information. So it did send me in a private message from somebody. And so it's actually George. So from now on, I'm going to go in first place is George Ferraro. Second is Adam Barrett. Third, Nate Rupert. Four, Goro Petkoff. Five, and I'm going to give this guy a shout out as well. It's actually Ez George. I've been saying Ez George for the last week, and I got a lovely message from Ez, just saying how much he enjoyed the show and enjoyed the fantasy football, and just said that I was just getting his name wrong and just sort of corrected me on it. And thanks very much, Ez, for letting me know that there. So it's Ez George. Then our very own Dan Jones in sixth, then Stephen Taylor, Robert Palmer, Chrissy Rich, and Jan Espen Simonsen in 10th place. Most points this week with 87 points is Adam Barrett, who jumped up into second place. So well done, Adam. Very strong team there. Steve, what position were you last week? 100th, was it?
Yeah.
You're now in 130th.
I know.
You've dropped 30 places. Can't believe it. But I told you were above me last week. So
I have
jumped up again. I'm up to 87th. I was just unfortunate with a couple of players there. So... I'm getting closer. And then just around off the bottom of the league, there's Mason Joseph, Angus Doodle, Lee Berry, Kevin Aspinall and Eddie Bra. So great fun, guys. Keep it up. And there's some real strong teams in there.
Shout outs.
Okay, first one. And this is a massive shout out for us, Steve. We forgot to do this for the last 2 weeks. And massive apologies to a guy called Mark Menifee. Now, Mark actually done our new logo for us, Steve, on our Facebook and on our Twitter page, and it is absolutely brilliant. We've been looking for something fresh, and I think we'll maybe get some new flyers and some bit of merchandise maybe done with this logo on it. So look, Mark, a really, really massive shout out for you, and apologies for not doing this earlier. And I'll just give out Mark's website if anybody wants to check it out, because he does a lot of great work. It's www.6foot6creative.com. So hopefully everybody understands my accent there and can get it. So guys, get on there and check it out. So brilliant. Thanks, Mark, from myself and Steve. Another quickie, obviously the Save and Stacey appeal. Massive shout out again. Speaking to Miss Ruby Light this week and her husband George. So there's actually a petition online, and what it is, I think they're only about 2,000 people short of signing this petition. And once they get the 10,000 signatures, they can actually go to Downing Street, Steve, with it. And they're only a couple of thousand short. I got on there last night. I signed it dead easy, guys. There's a link on our Facebook page. And I think it's also on Twitter that we've retweeted. And you literally just go in, you click on the site, you go in and you just literally put in your name and address. You don't need to give any other personal details and just click sign the petition.
Yeah.
And I got quite a few friends and family had done it last night as well. So really important, guys. Every one of you out there. We have about 2,500, 3,000 people every week that listen to this show, guaranteed. If every one of you goes and does this tonight or tomorrow, they'll have over 10,000. So please, please just go and do that for her. And one final, just another shout out, Steve, for the Northern Ireland Legends Night from the Lisburn Spurs Supporters Club that the Spurs Poets helping to organise as well. There's very, very few tickets left, guys. It's on the 1st of November. We've got Mickey Hazard and Graham Roberts and Crackers coming over. So, guys, if you're looking at tickets still, get in touch with ourselves on Facebook or get in touch with the Spurs Poet on Twitter or on his Facebook page, and we can get you a ticket sorted out.
Lovely. I'm going to give a shout-out to Afghan Spurs. That's Tom Cousins, who I met at the game in the Bell and Hare. Very nice guy. He was going to come on the show tonight, but he had a date.
Lucky man.
I know.
Hello, get your priorities right, Tom.
He's a good-looking fella, actually. I felt a little bit intimidated when he walks in. I'm normally the best-looking bloke in the Bell and Hare, but there we go.
He hasn't met me yet, Steve.
No. Yeah. Talk about your modelling career. Who's that company you work for?
Never you worry.
Remus. anyway, Tom's going to come on the show because he had a great story about going on the pitch and everything, and also obviously he heard last week's show all about Bullets and Dust. He nicknamed the show last week.
Yes, that's right.
So yeah, we're going to have a chat with him in the next couple of weeks. That should be good. Right, finally we got the game in Russia tomorrow night. You know, we'll see how that goes. And then we've got West Ham on Sunday. You know, it's a big game. I work in West Ham country. This is their cup final, which is fine. You know, we look forward to big games as well. And, you know, a question that I was going to ask, I'm not going to ask it, but an interesting one is, would you have liked to have beaten Arsenal and Chelsea and lost all the other games this season? I'm not going to ask that question, but I'll just leave that with you. But this West Ham game, I mean, you know, I think West Ham would like to win this game and go down. You know, that's how much they want to beat Tottenham. You know, we want to beat them as well, don't we, Carl?
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's another thing, you know, with London clubs, there's so many London derbies, you know, especially when we've got the likes of Crystal Palace in the league as well this year. So, you know, they're never easy games, but look, it's at White Hart Lane. You know, they're struggling a wee bit, West Ham, but you can never take West Ham lightly whenever they're coming to White Hart Lane. You know, their supporters will be packed in there up in the corner, as you say, desperate to try and get one over on us. But look, I think this is where the difference is from the last couple of years. We've got so much quality, Steve. I can see nothing else than a Spurs victory. And I just pray Mr. Soldado maybe... it's his chance to bang a couple of goals in. You know, I think we're so, so strong. I'm delighted Andy Carroll's injured for them. I think he's always a real threat against us. But with so much quality over the pitch, and I'm really fingers crossed that this should be a good 3 points for us and get us back on track, because we do have a couple of difficult games coming up. You know, we've got West Ham, then forgetting about the Europa League games, we've got Aston Villa away, who just beat Man City. You know, it's not going to be easy. I'm with Everton away, you know, so really, really big game for us on Sunday, and hopefully get 3 points in the bag. And, you know, it just keeps us up there in touching distance, you know.
Prediction?
I'm going to go 3-0 Spurs.
Yeah. But it should be 3-0 with the squad we've got, with the injuries that West Ham have got, load of injuries, you know. Carroll's out, Andy Cole's out, Joe Cole's out. You know, really, you know, the best player is Kevin Nolan, who I think has been a terrific player over the years.
Yeah, definitely.
Getting stuck in, getting the goals. You know, but they've got players like Stuart Downing, you know, who's injured, but, you know, he's coming back. I mean, I've never rated him. I think they've got some decent central defenders. I think they're all right there. And obviously Sam Allardyce is a tough nut, and what have you. Did you see him having a go at someone at the weekend from the touchline? Yeah. That was funny. But, you know, I'm going to say it because we've got West Ham coming up and people, you know, despise West Ham or whatever. I work in West Ham country. I speak to a lot of West Ham fans. The thing about West Ham fans is they know their football. and they don't just know about West Ham. Whereas if you speak to an Arsenal fan, that's what I find anyway, all they know about is Arsenal. And, you know, they don't know about any other side. You say, oh, did you watch the game last night? Like, you know, tonight with the Manchester clubs. They don't even watch it. They're not even interested. Where I think West Ham fans, not only do they follow their own club, they follow all football and they're very knowledgeable and you can have a real good chat with a West Ham fan about everything that's going on. You know, which I enjoy. So, you know, I think they're good people to speak to. You know, obviously they've got a small minority of people that spoil it for the rest of them because, you know, they do silly things, say silly things. They did last year, didn't they, at our ground, and chanting, you know, ridiculous things. Hopefully they won't do that because, you know, well, why would you think that's funny or what have you? And, you know, but hopefully there's a few sort of the earth people in there that tell them to shut up. You know, it'll be a good game. I think we will win it comfortably, and I'm going to go for 3-0 as well, actually, Cole. How about that?
Yeah, I'm actually going to put a wee bit extra on the prediction, and I've done it at the start of the season, it all came true. I actually believe Soldado's going to get a penalty. He's going to score another penalty, but you know what? He's going to score a second goal from normal play as well.
So you're 3-0 or
4-0? 3-0 with the Soldado penalty, and then Soldado will also score from normal play.
Okay, I'll go. I can't do three. I can't do the same as you. I'll go 4-0 then.
Okay, happy days.
Right, so we've got the game in Russia, which, you know, hopefully we'll get a nice little result. And then we've got the game at West Ham. Blimmin' Arsenal keep winning, don't they? What's going on there?
I know. What squad do you reckon tomorrow night? We'll have to see Alexis Sandro and...
Yeah. All those, you know, guys, Holtby and Lamella, yeah, and all that. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing Soldado play and get his confidence up a little bit. Smack a couple in. Maybe play up there with Defoe and, you know, see if they can work together. That'd be quite good.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting game. It's early kickoff as well, I think, is it?
Yeah. But against West Ham, I would like to see a couple of little changes because he seems to be playing the same side each week, which is fine. But just a couple of little changes.
Yeah, but maybe see Alexis Soldado or maybe Lamella, maybe getting him for the West Ham game. It'd be nice to see him.
Yeah, you know, tell Andros Townsend, you know, you've been terrific. You know, you are a first choicer, but just for this game, we're gonna go with Lamella and see what he's got about him. Go on the bench, come on for the last 20-25 minutes, mate. All right, buddy.
Okay, mate, well, look, come on, you Spurs, get a victory tomorrow night and big 3 points on Sunday, Steve. Come on.
Absolutely. Come on, you Spurs.